No, I'm certainly happy to have everybody, see everyone coming, have you that are here anyway, getting here early, and that's really helpful to the person who's running the call, and appreciate that. Anyone need help getting on the WebEx?
It did not accept the code for me. I had to try 3 times. It kept saying that it's not a valid code, the 2015 pound. I don't know if that happens when others are trying to get on, but it did. That's the first time it's ever done that.
Did on the conference on the phone line? Did you you put the pound sign afterwards, right?
Yes, each time. I even pulled up the redial number to look at what I had just put in.
We used to have a longer code, and we had trouble with it a lot of the time, and so I've shortened it up to that, and it's worked fairly well since then. Sometimes if I type it too fast or if I hit and hold the pound sign too long, it has told me that.
Well, that may have been what I did.
Good morning, everyone. Who else
do
we have on the call? Good morning, Margaret.
Ruth, I've had trouble with that password sometimes too, and I find that just slowing down and hitting keys deliberately, that it works. But if you do it very fast, it sometimes won't do it.
Thank you, Margaret. That's what happened to me when I was pushing on it too long. I was trying to be so deliberate that I held it down too long. I didn't like that either. Kind of picky. Well, it's 7 a.m., and I'd like to introduce our speaker, Monty. Monty Beads is a gold distributor in NECAN, and he was on for much of our call when we did the 5 years of the program, lifestyle program before, and we always enjoyed the day that when he would speak to us, and so we're very excited that he is here to lead our calls now. So here's Monty.
Thank you, Ruth. Welcome, everybody. For those of you that are new on the call, we'd certainly like to welcome you, and we're glad to have you here. Anytime you feel like you need to have a question or need something explained a little better, feel free to speak up. Group participation is encouraged. And if you're on this call for the first time and you would like to get more information, or you hear a particular call that you would like to rehear again, or maybe you hear somebody talk about a call, then you can always go to allswell.org. That's allswell.org. And you can click on the Healthy Choices of the telephone calls. And you can get caught up, or you can have other people listen to those particular calls yourself. Does anybody have any questions this morning before we start out? Does anybody have anything they'd like to say that maybe possibly that this program is helping them in any particular way? And certain things, maybe they're understanding more about inflammation. Okay, I don't usually wait too long. They've always said, they always taught me in sales, and that is that when you ask a question, you never speak until somebody speaks up. I kind of agree that's true, but in some cases, we might be here at 7:30 where somebody spoke up. But anyhow, have a great day. I'd like to go, one of the things I do on Fridays is I kind of summarize what's been happening during the week. So in case you hear something that possibly could trigger something that you feel you'd like to know more about, you can always go to that website and pull that particular day up. So on last Monday, Ruth talked about a few things that I think are very important, and I might even discuss a little bit more of that stuff today. And it was we don't like grazing. Grazing means trying to eat all day long and little snacks and whatever. We shouldn't do that, and there's good reasons not to do that. Eating proportionately, which means that we take a particular plate and we eat a third protein, and the other two-thirds, as an example, would be fruits and vegetables. the purpose of the program and the way that we're decided to eat, and that was, she talked about, to get the toxins out of our body. And we all know that toxins in our body create particular problems, particularly diseases, aches, pains, and whatever. On Monday, Margaret talked about a product that had done actually amazing things within her body, and that was the product Immunity, and how she had a situation on her jaw to where when she started taking Immunity and really doubling up on it, and how when she went to her doctor, it was amazing the things that happened, that it had basically gone away. And if you'd like to know more in regards to Margaret's testimony, you can certainly go there on Monday and hear Margaret talk about that. Ruth also talked about GMO foods and how they are modified, and how they're taking food nowadays and modifying them and to be basically pretty much pest resistant, and that's the main purpose of doing it, and that basically these are all bad for us. On Tuesday, Terrific Tuesday, Martha Sue was our host, and she talked about why we need to be alkaline and the foods that are better in alkalinity. And that's one of the things we totally believe in, is that eating a 20-80% or a 60-40, all depending on what the alkaline or the acid is in your particular body and where you are on that particular chart. We talked about laminating food charts. Karen had went out and downsized her food chart and laminated it, so when she goes places or grocery shopping or whatever, she can have that available. Martha Sue also talked about setting some goals for yourself. Where you want to be in this program? Where are you going? And she particularly talked about the measurement chart. And the measurement chart is a way that we can check our body on a daily basis or a weekly basis, however you decide to do it. And she got a few people to come along with her and join her on this particular program and start doing the measurement and reporting it. On Wednesday, we usually have Mary Helen Dean do the hosting, but she was not available to be with us because her husband had came home back from the hospital. Her husband is doing very good, very terrific. The doctors are amazed how fast he's recovering from his surgery. So Ruth took the call. She discussed about her Kathy Abascal class that she had taken. She had now completed the class and how she came out with some real good things. But one of the things I decided to do was also take the class, but I was going to do it online because I didn't want to travel that far distance to go to a particular class on a weekly basis. So I signed up for the online class that was going to start this coming Sunday, but for some reason they've canceled the class. And here again, one of the reasons I feel that I wanted to do that was I believe that when we hear things from different people and the teachings of that particular teacher herself and how why she believes and what she believes in, and that is, of course, quieting inflammation, and that was very important. But one of these days I'll get back and she's going to do another class and I'll get involved in that. So no matter where you are or where you're from, if you want to take the class, that class is available, and you can go to tqidiet.com and check and see when her next class is going to be. She talked about that basically that one-third of the population soon will be diabetic. Ruth, was that now or down the road? About how one-third of the people are going to be diabetic, 41% are going to be obese, and 75% of people are going to be overweight. And that's all contributed, I'm sure, to the way that we're eating and the things that we eat. Ruth talked about not juicing. She talked about avoiding artificial sweeteners because it tells the body to secrete insulin. And I'm going to get into a little bit more of that today. And it was on my heart and my mind, so I'm going to talk about that. No MSG. And, of course, Ruth kind of got into that on Thursday. Ruth explained more about MSG, what it basically is, glucomate, things like that. And she had come up with a chart that I absolutely was amazed at the MSG and glucomate. The slide that she had brought up is very, very informational. That's one of the reasons that if you can be on the Webinex, that's where you need to be, if you can get on there, because there's a lot of good information that shows up there that you can't see when you're on the line, but be here somehow, some way, if that's the important factor. Now, the reason that the government allows GMOs and glucomate and things like that in our products, but they've also put, but they now, because where everybody's starting to understand more what MSG is and the bad things that it does to our body, that basically they're now starting to use other type of products or disguise them, I guess what I want to say, and that's why it's so important to understand what that explained, and there's this chart that she has up there right now that kind of explains the foods and things like that and the other ingredients that you could look at, basically, that they've disguised it with. And the reason that GMO is bad and MSG and glucomate is that it's bad for our brain, and even though it's bad for, we're trying to learn about ourselves, but we need to understand through generations that we're influencing in regards to food and the way that we eat and why we should only eat certain foods. So it's and especially children who don't have the capacity that has developed because of their growth patterns and whatever, is that anytime we put foreign objects and this MSG and glucomate into our bodies, that it's really, really bad for children. So that was kind of last week. Last Friday I talked about a few things and things that we tried to eliminate in the first 3 weeks. And that's one of the things I really like about Kathy's program, is that in the way that we eat, and that is the first 3 weeks, it's called an elimination process. And I've always thought of elimination as kind of like a cleansing or detoxifying and things like that. Well, it is. Though she doesn't believe in necessarily going through liquid type of things and cleanses and detox the way that most of us have done over the years. She believes that we need good fiber in our body and things like that, because when we have that, our body functions and it actually detoxes by eating the right certain things and eliminating certain foods is all we're doing. But the nice thing about this is that after you go through the three-week period of eliminating certain types of foods, then at the end of the 3 weeks, and I haven't got into that yet in her book, but there are ways that you can actually test yourself and introduce foods back into your menus that we've eliminated to find out our sensitivity in regards to what it does to inflation in our bodies. So we'll get into that, and I'm sure how to do that later on down the road. Anybody have any questions at this particular time or any comment? Okay. Last week I talked about leptin and certain things that we're eliminating and why certain things in our bodies do certain things that we take. Today I'm going to talk about a few other things of elimination. Now, again, I want to stress that if I talk about something that maybe you really like or remember, that you're going to be able to introduce it back into your food menu at a later date to see how your body basically responds to it. And one of the things I'm finding for me by eliminating a lot of this stuff, that I'm finding amazing results just by eliminating them. And inflammation is a very important factor in regards to diseases. You know, I'm finding that my ankles don't swell as much. I'm finding that the movement with my body is better. I'm finding my areas of my abdomen are decreasing. That, of course, has to do with losing weight, too, but I believe a lot of it is I'm starting to get rid of this inflammation. And I know that I'm detoxing by going through this process, because when I do that, normally my skin gets little, a little pimples and stuff like that on it, I guess I might say, in my face area. And that way I know that that the toxins are leaving my body, because there's only basically three ways that toxins get rid of our body, and one is through urine. We get rid of toxins by urinating, through bowel movement, waste, and the other is through sweat and through our skin. So I guess what that's telling me in my own particular feeling is that I am going through a detoxing phase by eliminating a lot of these particular products. One of the things I'd like to talk to you about today are a few things, is natural sweeteners. And I know Ruth has mentioned this before. Natural sweeteners are things like ranging from white, brown, and powdered sugar to honey, maple syrup, and molasses. While they are all different, basically, among themselves at the core, they are really all the same. and which is basically a mixture of glucose and fructose. And we need to limit them because all sugars are inherently inflammatory. All sugars are inherently inflammatory. So the, one of the reasons that we do that is that the reason we try to avoid sweeteners, and that sweeteners basically deplete the stores of magnesium to the liver. And most of us need more, not less magnesium, if we are to quiet inflammation. And I found that to be very informative as far as I'm concerned. In order to quiet inflammation, Kathy says that it's critical to avoid all sweeteners during the elimination phase. Many people think that they've eliminated sugar by avoiding obvious sweets. I found this true in most of my later life, is that I did certain things, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but fail to realize how many other foods in the diet contain added sugar. Most of the sugar intake comes from eating prepared foods, and we all know that, because they add a lot of sugar. In fact, the average American eating the Western diet eats about 20 teaspoons of sugar, added sugar, on a day. Now, I know I never thought that, well, I sit down and I take 20 teaspoons of sugar, but the amount of sugar that we get, or the disguised sugars that are in the ingredients of food, and particularly in processed food, that I was getting a lot of sugar. So that's why reading ingredients are very important on the labels. We need to stop. And I really can relate to this, what I'm going to say to you next, what Kathy says. And we need to stop excusing ourselves when we eat foods with hidden or added sugar. A comment such as, well, it's just a teaspoon in my coffee. Or sugar is the last ingredient in ketchup. And the reason we know about reading ingredients is when you get the first ingredient in the reading, ingredients is the most, that's what's most in the particular product, and as they go down in ingredients, that's the least amount. So sometimes I even found that true with myself, that by reading ingredients in the old program, that basically somewhere that's going to end up being sugar. Another one is, she talks about is, I just put a tab of a jam in the salad dressing. And one of the other things she talks about, I'm sure that they did not put too much sugar on the sweet potato fries. If we avoid added sugars, we basically help with getting rid of that inflation, but we can introduce them later on into the program. So even though sugar is not in the ingredients label, it may, however, be listed on the nutrition label, and that's kind of, and she talks about one particular example here, is that, for example, the ingredients listed in canned corn should only contain corn, water, and perhaps some salt. And there should be no mention of sucrose, fructose, Splenda, or maltodextrin. Now, what we will find, though, when we do read the ingredients portion of the label, that maybe it doesn't show any sugar, when you go to the top and you read the nutrition value in the food, it might so show some sugar. Now, the reason it does that is because there's fructose in our fruits and our vegetables, but those are natural sugars, and those natural sugars are basically, it's pretty much to avoid them because they are better for our body. And they can, natural sugars found in whole foods are fine, but that the sugar, added sugar, is what we're trying to eliminate in our particular bodies. Now, artificial sweeteners, and Ruth has talked about this before, and in reading her book, it was amazing on how, where with wheat natural sugars, what a natural sugar does, it increases our blood sugars, which in turn increases the insulin within our body. Okay? Now, what natural artificial sweeteners do is that when we put them into our body and our brain gets that sweet whatever, it basically tells the body to automatically start increasing insulin. Now, what insulin does is insulin lowers blood sugar. And our bodies automatically, through our liver and our pancreas, we secrete insulin in our bodies all day long. It's either adding insulin or it is decreasing insulin based upon the foods that we put in there. But the problem with artificial sweeteners is that where in natural sweeteners it raises the blood sugar level, but in natural sweeteners it does not raise the blood sugar level. But it does tell, so when the brain gets that sweetness through the artificial sweetener, the brain then tells the pancreas and the liver to start to secrete insulin. But if artificial sweeteners don't raise the blood sugar, what happens is that we go into low blood sugar. So anytime you use a sweetener, whether it be a chemical, whatever type of sweetener it is that in most cases, the artificial sweeteners do not raise the blood sugar level, and that's the reason why a lot of people get feeling lethargic or feel down in the dumps, because they're getting a low, they have low blood sugar, because the body has not, it's tricked the body. When we put artificial sweeteners in our food or in our body, we're basically trying to trick ourselves that we're getting that good old Western diet in our diet. And that's why we are able to eat sweet-tasting foods without paying a price for them. And that's
Monty,
what I just thought. Life doesn't work that way. Go ahead.
Monty, I have a question. You're saying that, that we think that artificial sweeteners don't raise our blood sugar, but they do, and natural sweeteners do raise our blood sugar, right?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Let me explain it again, okay? Because I just, the reason for the question. Natural sweeteners, such as honey, maple syrup, molasses, those type of natural sweeteners, okay? They do two things. They increase our blood sugar, which in turn, the brain then says to increase the insulin to lower the blood sugar. Because we don't want high blood sugar. So it's a function of the body and the brain that says, secrete insulin to lower the blood sugar that the molasses, as an example, has raised, or the maple syrup. Artificial sweeteners says that our brain still accepts the sweetener, but what it doesn't do is artificial sweeteners do not raise our blood sugar levels. Okay? But our body still secretes insulin, which insulin lowers our blood sugar levels. So that way, well, so what happens is for some people, they go into low blood sugar and not feeling too well, or starting to feel confused, dizzy, doing some sweating, starting to feel lethargic, start getting tired. And what that insulin does is that it drops our blood sugars, which have not increased, and then we have those low sugar attacks. Does that answer the question, or is it more confusing?
That was very clear. I thought that was clear. Thank you.
And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I find myself doing, you know, many years, and that was, you know, I'd sit down and order a meal when I wasn't eating properly, and then what I'd do is I'd order a Diet Coke. Well, why did I order the Diet Coke? I guess because I felt that by eating the artificial sweetener that I wasn't getting the sugar into my body, which is true, but I was also creating another problem. And that's why artificial sweeteners are bad. Now, I know, so that's the story on artificial sweeteners. You know, why do we eliminate dairy? One of the and this is my own personal belief in eliminating dairy, is that, and I'm trying to figure out how to say this to where it makes a little bit of sense. I guess I feel that that cow's milk is foreign to our bodies. It's another foreign subject. And any time we put a foreign subject within our bodies, like chemicals, and that's the way I believe, that our body doesn't respond to that particular item that we're putting in our body in the way that it needs to. And that's one of the reasons when Ruth talked about cytokines, that when inflation starts to occur, that any time we get something foreign in our body that our body doesn't accept as normal, then we start to get these cytokines and things start to happen, and that's when we start developing inflammation. I guess I believe that the purpose of, I guess I'll want to say this, I hope I say this right, and that is that the female side of life is for the purpose of producing, and our children, our babies, don't eat food, but they eat milk. So So I guess what I'm trying to say is that that's one of the reasons that we breastfeed our babies, and that's because of the lactoferrin and the colostrum and things like that are there for. And that's just my own personal feeling in regards to that. But also the main reason, and I hope I don't offend anybody here, is that we're finding our children drink a lot of milk because that's the way I guess maybe most of us are raised. Now, I didn't like milk, and I was very allergic to milk, and I was raised on breast milk for quite a few months, and I couldn't drink regular milk because my body, and some people are like this, our bodies we don't produce certain enzymes which allow the proper digestion of the milk within our bodies, so then we get allergic reactions to it. My son was the same way. His mother had to we raised Roman pretty much in his younger years in life on breast milk and goat's milk because it was one of the things that he just couldn't tolerate it also. The other thing that's bad about it that Ruth talked about, and that is that milk comes from cows. Cows are fed commercial grain. Commercial grain, they're putting things into grain like growth hormones and things like that to get the animals to produce more milk than what they normally do. We turn around, we buy milk out of the grocery store. That's got growth hormones in it. And I believe that's one of the reasons that we're seeing the younger generation today going 6'3 and 6'4. I think that's why we find the reason that girls at a younger age are starting their menstrual cycles is because our children are ingesting milk and milk products, and I believe that that's one of the reasons that we're having this kind of all of a sudden a spurt of growth in our population. You know, I can remember back in the 50s and 60s when I was in the 50s when I was in high school. But you know, if you found a 6 foot person, boy, that was a big dude. You know, nowadays you find people 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". We find a lot more taller women than what we used to find, and I believe it's because of the growth hormones that are in cow's milk, and I'll leave it at that, and we'll move on. Also, because we believe in a more of an alkaline diet, that milk is very acidic. And it's very acidic because it gets into our kidneys and our liver and our bones and is taxing to these systems. Now, in the old days, we read a book, and it was called the China Syndrome, where they found that populations that didn't consume a lot of milk or milk products didn't have a lot of fractures, hip fractures, bone trouble, osteoporosis, things like this. They weren't prone to those kind of things because they were very low in milk product. And I believe that when I read that book, totally made sense to me, and I believe that also. The other thing we need to eliminate is dried corn. Now, I know she believes in eating sweet corn, and I do too, but dried corn is bad. And the reason dried corn is bad is that, but it's always been prevalent in our Western diet because so many ingredients are made from dried corn, and are used in processed and fast foods. What drying corn is pretty much basically, it again creates the problem. Now, one of the things, and I don't know if Ruth, you're going to get into this or not, but on the GMO type of foods that, in other words, have been altered because of the way that they're putting things and getting the food chain so where that the pesticides are putting in so that the pests, in other words, aren't prevalent and the crops grow faster and they become bigger. And so GMO basically changes the structure of it. And that's the reason that we eat an awful lot of corn. We eat cornmeal, cornstarch, you know, corn chips, anything that's dried. And that's one of the reasons and it's found in unexpected places, you know, corn oil. Here's the other thing that's kind of amazing to me, that it actually is an adhesive, like on an envelope. I'm not trying to get too extreme here, but it's just like when you lick an envelope, if you lick an envelope to close it, you know, you're probably getting some kind of a corn, dried corn in that particular process. To me, I thought it was kind of funny, but it does totally make sense. The other thing that we eliminate peanuts. Now, why do we eliminate peanuts? Because mold, in other words, peanuts belong to the pea family. Okay, they're not a nut. So I don't know why they called it peanuts, but anyhow, it's in the pea family. Peanuts are grown under the ground. And there is a particular mold that appears on peanuts, and that is one of the other things that causes great inflation within our body. And so we instead avoid the peanuts during the elimination phase to reduce our exposure to molds, as well as motivate us to explore a greater variety of other nuts and seeds. And I thought that when Kathy said that in the book, that totally made sense to me. Because most of us do like nuts. But unfortunately, a lot of us like peanuts. So when we go to the grocery store or whatever, we buy peanuts. It's just the family likes it, everybody likes it. Some people might not like Brazil nuts, other people don't like walnuts. Some people have a burning sensation in their mouth or tongue when they eat walnuts. So that's the thing, the reason that when she said if you avoid peanuts, then you know you need the nuts, so it increases the other nut values that we want to try that are healthy to our body, and particularly like almonds. She also eliminates hydrogenated and deodorized vegetable oil. Like when I read that, I thought, deodorized vegetable oils? What does she mean by deodorized vegetable oils? I mean, does it lower the smell or what that it does? But the way you deodorize a vegetable oil is that basically you heat it to, the purpose of it is to heat it to extreme heats to give it better shelf life. And when you hear again, you start changing the structure of the particular oils, most the oils, peanut oil, cottonseed oil. That was the other thing I thought was amazing, that I know there is people that have used cottonseed oil for cooking and that sort of stuff, but if you realize it, cotton is a plant that was used to make clothes. It wasn't really designed for the purpose like rapeseed oil, grapes, those kind of things. Canola oil. Now, what is canola oil? Canola oil is basically rapeseed oil. In the old days, they used to call it rapeseed oil. Nowadays, they change the name because they found out that rapeseed oil was bad, so they changed the name to canola oil, but basically we still have the same particular problems. It's not simply avoid things that are, and so what we want to do is we want to avoid things that are unhealthy. Why don't non-organic soybean oil? You know, here again, when we get into the products I think Ruth is going to get into, or somebody, and that is that soybeans are one of the high things that are that have GM, that have been genetically modified. We need to avoid chemicals and heavy processed food. We need to avoid and eliminate non-organic soy and soy products. We need to eliminate refined grains. You know, when I think of refined grains, sometimes it didn't make sense to me, but basically grains are refined simply by removing the husk of the product, whether it be rice or wheat. When they remove that husk, where basically most of the nutrients are in the value, nutrient value of the food is, that's what happens when they get rid of that. We've already talked about juices she gets into. Non-milks, in other words, here again, non-milks made from coconuts or other nuts or grain remove the fiber, and it is used, and if used as drinks, deliver complex food components too quickly, exactly the same way most fruit juices do. Now, it's okay to use coconut oil or coconut milk. I used it the other day in one of her recipes, and she called for half a can of coconut milk, but we don't basically break it. We use it for the purpose of cooking and that sort of stuff. Eliminating dried foods, dried fruits. And the reason we eliminate dried fruits is because basically the sugar content in dried fruits increases. As that's one of the main purposes of drying it, but the sugar increases within it. And she has an antidote in her book, and I'd just like to read it to you. She says a friend and her went shopping at Costco, and when she put in her dried figs, in other words, I guess I'm trying to say, are very, very high, and I also... If I remember, Ruth, they're very high in glycemic value, and that is because of the sugar that's in it. But what she did, she bought a tub of dates, and I told her not to buy it. She says, don't worry. She says, I only have one, or at least most two a day as a dessert, and I think that's fine. 4 days later, she says, when she went over and visited her friend again, she found out that the tub of dates was almost all gone. And then I think that's one of the reasons, you know, is that when we eat things that are high in sugar, what it basically does, the brain tells the body, and we create the idea that our body needs more sugars, so down the road that's pretty much happens. Now, are dates and figs good for you? Absolutely. But the process of eating too many of them because it's too easy that we do it. So that's pretty well much kind of goes over the elimination food process. Does anybody have any questions, or have I totally confused you today? Remember, the purpose of eliminating certain foods within our body is only for the purpose of to quiet inflammation in our body. Inflammation, again, is the main purpose of diseases and things and joint problems and whatever. And if we can eliminate that inflammation with our body's internal will function better and properly, and we'll get the results that we need. Ruth, any comments?
Not offhand. Let's see. We will be covering the GMO foods as soon as I get my slides fixed up, good enough to scare you to death. You'll never eat a GMO again.
Well, you know, I went to that web page that Kathy talks about from the University of Southern California, and in that web page it talks about the foods that have been that are GM, you know, genetically modified now.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely just really makes me believe again, like Kathy says to the bone, that this whole idea of eating alkaline and foods more so than acidic foods, and that what these GMO products are doing to our bodies literally is scary. Absolutely.
Especially since they pass it on to the children, too.
And, well, you know, it's so true, and we don't really realize, but, you know, I kind of think about the way that my mother and father, the foods that they fed us kids, back in those days, it was meat, potatoes, and gravy. And I found that as I grew older that I pretty much eat a lot of meat, potatoes, and gravy. And so we don't realize that our children, I guess, are very influenced by things that we as parents do, whether it be good or bad. And unfortunately, the foods that we put in our body dictates what our body is going to be or become.
Hey, I shared an experience with you guys that I had last night. I have a grandson that is has been noting how I will not eat sugar, and so therefore on Sunday I don't eat the desserts that everybody has for our Sunday dinner. And he's also noticed that I do not eat white anything with wheat in it. Well, he came over to our house and used our wheat grinder. And he ground up some beans, and then he ground up some brown rice, and he went home and he made some bread, and with the bean flour, and he brought it back and he wanted me to try it, but he told me he put some wheat flour in it. I said, well, I can't eat that, Andrew. And so he went home. And he made a dessert, and he used the rice flour and stevia for sweetener, and he used the applesauce for the fat, and he made a dessert. And he came over last night, and he wanted me to try this dessert. And you guys, I thought it was fantastic. I thought, oh my goodness, I didn't think I'd ever be able to eat anything sweet. But it was really good. And I am impressed with the fact that my grandson is very intent on trying to follow these rules of health.
That's great.
Go ahead.
I just said, that's really great. I mean, and definitely, as soon as we get off the elimination part, well, we do eat things that are sweet, but they just don't have all these things in them at all. You make them up yourself. You don't buy them in a package.
Yep, that's what he did.
And I'll say one other thing. When you order up Kathy's books, you get two basically books. You get the one's a recipe book, and I found an absolute marvelous recipe, and it's called Joanne's Breakfast Muffins. And it is basic, and I just really love it. And I really think it's for somebody like me, it's a real simple thing to make up, but it basically consists of mashed bananas, pumpkin or sweet potato, or fresh squash, olive oil, some eggs, some sea salt, and I made some up the other day, and I just love them. Just absolutely thinking. The nice thing about it is when I'm eating those muffins, I'm thinking to myself, you know, people can go to Starbucks or whatever and grab those muffins they're eating there and all the crud and crap they're getting in it that is not healthy to our body. And here I'm sitting down and having a wonderful muffin made with almond meal, a banana, fresh squash, pumpkin, or sweet potato, either one. And I can even put chopped nuts in it. I put walnuts in it. I put some blueberries in it. And I sit there, and every time I eat that, I think, boy, to myself, what just good things I'm putting in my body, where most people eat a muffin, and it's just, now I look at regular muffins when I go through the grocery store or the bakery department, and I go, oh, my gosh.
Monty?
Yes?
I think it's really good to share which of the recipes we like and how that we can share a recipe once in a while. I haven't made that one, but it looks so good, I'm going to make it. But once I wanted a muffin to go with a dinner, and so I took the things on the next page that say savory muffins, the onion and the carrots and cumin and coriander and these things, and I put them in, and she suggested you do this, the muffin recipe back here, but I decided to use a non-wheat, a gluten-free flour that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kept imagining grinding up all those almonds. I ate so many almonds anyway. And so I just used the flour and replaced it with gluten-free flour. And those muffins were just delicious. And they were sort of, they were not sweet.
I know. I basically pretty much love them. And the other thing that I feel that's really helping me out is by eating the, getting away from gluten. You know, you talked about it, and I think Mary Lou has talked about it and everything else, but, you know, when we can get rid of the gluten within our bodies, because gluten creates inflammation, that are there again, we're heading in the right direction. I did happen to find a gluten-free store here in Tumwater that I can go to now, and I can buy products that gluten-free. Anything I want is there. Just so if you look around, you can find it. The other thing I'm doing, too, is that because I'm realizing that whole foods are important. In other words, how do you get away from all these kind of stuff? Well, we have an organic farm just down the road from us called Left Foot Organics, and they have a program that on a weekly basis you can you buy it. It's a package, and you buy it, but it costs me $15. I think it's $13 to $15 a week, and the whole point of it is that you know I'm getting nice organic foods, knowing where they come from. They don't come from other parts of the world where they don't necessarily do the things they need to. They put certain things on food which I don't really think is beneficial to us. But I think there's always ways if we want to eat more whole foods and eat more organic type foods. And about the only way you're going to avoid GMO or GM and you know and GMO type foods, and that is you're going to have to pretty much go organic. And so because they're disguising so much now, and the government's allowing that it's absolutely ridiculous. But anyhow, I'm getting that package, and so every week I'll end up getting the vegetables that are in the season, and so I'm kind of excited about that, if you want the truth. So there's always a way of finding foods, and I'm sure whether you're living in Texas or Arizona or New York or Washington State or wherever you're particularly from, that there's some place that somebody's growing something that can be more beneficial to your body than buying certain things out of the grocery store. But here again, that's another choice, another rule. You know, Ruth has talked about rules. Well, there's rules to everything. No matter what you do, there's rules of raising children. There's rules of eating. There's rules of sports. There's all kinds of rules. Faith rules. Doesn't matter. And if you abide by those particular rules, things work out better.
What is the name of the book and the author?
I'm going to type that in, Monty. I'm typing it in right now.
Okay, and this is this is an author that lives on Vashon Island where Ruth lives, who Ruth found out about, and so she attended her classes, and she's and I really love what some things she's saying. I don't necessarily agree with everything she says, but the whole point of it is by following her particular pattern in that 3-week pattern of eliminating certain types of foods, I'm finding amazing results. You know, I'm losing weight. My measurements are going down, and I don't measure, but I know I can do certain things now because of where I was before on the five-year program to where I ended up back getting off the program. I ended up gaining a lot of that weight back. There's certain areas and things I can do now. The other day I reached around. I had an itch in my back, and usually I have to get a back scratcher to get to that itch. The other day I reached around to my back, and I was able to itch that particular part of my back. And that, again, just little things in our bodies that we can, that we can't do, that we can do. You know, it's just like if all of a sudden I get a discomfort in my body, I know exactly that my body is talking to me. It's saying something to me. And I take that, for instance, that I'm possibly not eating the right foods and I'm causing that problem in my body for the foods that I'm ingesting. The name of the book is?
To Quiet Inflammation, or TQI. And it's the Abascal Way, A-B-A-S-C-A-L. So all of you who are not on the WebEx can be able to find it. And she has a website, and you can order it right from the website, right, Monty?
Yep, that's how I ordered mine. Normally, if I tried to find it in the bookstore or through Amazon, it took 3 to 4 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks for delivery. I ordered it from Kathy directly through her website, and I got it within 3 days.
That means I should be getting mine today.
Good. You know, one thing I like about books is books always have a whole lot of knowledge in them, and wisdom and guidance and whatever. But one thing I've learned, if we can do all the reading we want in the world, but if we don't put that knowledge to work, knowledge is great, but unless we put it to work, it ain't going to do us any good. And that's one of the reasons I just love this book and the way Kathy thinks about it. And I'm so glad that Ruth found her. And I went to her class because now we're going to get that knowledge from Ruth that I think is really going to help us all down the road.
Well, thank you, Monty.
Thank you, Ruth.
Great presentation, great information today. I know that everybody really appreciates it, and so do I. And so we'll be back again Monday morning at 7 a.m. So you guys all have a great weekend.
Thanks, Monty. Thank you very much.
You're good.
Thanks for being here, because we're all headed in the right direction, and we're a group, and this group needs to be energized. And when every morning when we can get up and be with a group that thinks accordingly and has good ideas and good recipes and good questions and good answers, we're all going to be better off for it. Thanks again. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.